This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and we want to implore you to contribute to WRKF as we move along in the final days of our Spring Member Fest, and a reminder that a $40 bump is in place for all gifts, $80 if you become a sustaining member, and that means contributing monthly and at any amount, $5 or more. The bump, thanks to our board of directors, and it ends at 10 o'clock this morning. So in order to get in under the wire before 10 o'clock, before the conclusion of our show, 855-893-9753 is your number, and it's 2 for Tuesday. Become a sustaining member at $5 a month or more, and you can choose to receive the magnetic car vent cell phone holder and the WRKF member license plate frame. So we hope to hear from you. Again, 855-893-9753. And, of course, the world is assessing what's going on with coronavirus. The fast-spreading virus and a plunge in oil prices set off a chain reaction in financial markets yesterday, a self-perpetuating downward cycle that could inflict serious harm on the world economy. This from the New York Times. What started last month as unease about a potential economic slowdown in China has evolved into a borderline panic, with the S&P 500 crashing nearly 8% yesterday. The mayhem is threatening to roil the underlying global financial system and the abilities of companies large and small to survive a potential economic monsoon, a downward spiral that is fed and intensified by destructive forces. Now, the good news today is that the market in the early going is responding better. It's up 774 points, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is, to 24,625, and the NASDAQ is ahead 272 points. 8,222 is where the tech sector stands right now on Wall Street. But as we know, things can change in a blink, and the news of the last few weeks has not been good, and the Dow has dropped well over 5,000 points in about half a month. So that's where we are, and with us to talk about what is largely responsible for spurring all this is the former U.S. Surgeon General, Joycelyn Elders, the pride of Little Rock, born in Shaw, Arkansas. She's been with us many times, and she follows health matters with earnest, even though she is retired. But Dr. Elders, you spent many years as director of the Arkansas Department of Health and then had the highest health office in the country. What's your assessment of where we are right now?
Well, what you just said is correct, but Jim, you know, I hope we begin to listen to our scientists. You know, but we know an awful lot more than we did many years ago about viruses. We know more, far more about containing them and how they spread and how they're transmitted from one person to the other. And I think we're trying to really get our arms around this virus to make sure that it does not become national. Well, it's already a national event. Every state, I think, will have a case or two at some point along the way. And I think that our experts are really trying to make sure that we do the right thing. We can't treat it lightly. We've got to make sure that we all respond, and we've all got to be responsible. You know, we've all got to be involved in making sure that we get control of this virus. And it's affected everybody. It's affected all of us. You know, we certainly mm-hmm. don't want to end up, you know, having to close down everything because, you know, we're talking about what it's done to the economy so far. That would really, knock the legs completely uh-huh. out of the economy. But if we all respond appropriately and we all begin to get in charge of it and do the right thing and not overdo, not make our response more serious than the virus, I think we're going to make it.
877-217-5757 if you'd like to talk about coronavirus and interact with Dr. Joycelyn Elders, a former United States Surgeon General. And right now we have one reported case, we think, that is coronavirus in Louisiana. But it could be a case in which every state, as Dr. Elders stated, has cases, and it could be in the thousands. And then we'll see what happened. LSU is considering temporarily suspending face-to-face instruction because of the coronavirus. This was an announcement, and study programs abroad have been canceled by the flagship University of Louisiana. And I know people are thinking about, well, what happens to college football? What happens to the NFL? What happens to the Olympics?
That's right.
It's a wait and see. And people, I think, are afraid of uncertainty about as much as anything, Dr. Elders.
Well, I think we're probably, you know, we're always more afraid of the unknown. And, you know, we always blow up things. You know, when we don't know, we can often blow them up to be far greater than they really are. And when we know, we can do the things we need to do to head them off. But when you don't know, you might keep doing things that's making it spread even more. So I think that we're beginning to listen. And if we do the things we need to do, start early with early teaching, you know, we all know about hand washing and all the things we know about school health, and that's why we need comprehensive health education from kindergarten to 12th grade. But right now, we've got to really encourage and make all of our people know that we really need to wash their hands thoroughly to make sure they cough in their hands. And when you get old folk like me, stay home as much as we can and try and not expose us, because if we get exposed and get to be 85 and have high blood pressure and other things, you might die.
That's true. It is affecting older people more pronounced than others. And as the virus spreads, leaders around the world are offering guidance on how to touch other humans going forward. Health ministers in Switzerland and France have asked citizens to forego the two-kiss greetings. And in Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has encouraged no handshakes. 877-217.
It's all over. We're going to no handshake. You know, we're going to elbows and a fist and other things. So I think those are all good things.
All right. 877-217-5757 is your number. Doug on Highland. Doug, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Dr. Elders. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, and good morning, Dr. Elders. I wanted to ask, you know, for ordinary folks trying to make sense of some of the conflicting messages that have been sent out. Seems like the basic thing is it's safe to assume that it is spreading, and that until we have widespread testing, we really don't have no idea how many people have it until folks start getting sick from it. Is that accurate to say?
Dr. Elder?
To say how many folks have it, where it is, and who has it. And so we don't know the percentage of people that are really who we can't talk about how many die. We don't know how many that are really sick from the virus.
Well, Doug, I know you're a thoughtful man, one of the best environmentalists in our state, and this is an environmental issue.
It is, and I think, like the doctor said, we have to take it seriously. And as I understand it, even though it's not one of the deadliest viruses for a lot of people, the more it spreads, the more the vulnerable people are exposed to it, and that includes our elderly, as was mentioned. So all the more reason to take it very seriously. And, you know,
especially our nursing homes.
Yes, well. And just in general, and there's conflicting messages about whether elderly folks should be flying or not. You know, a lot of stuff to think about. Playing it safe seems like the best course.
Well, you can only imagine how this will impact the travel industry, in particular airlines. Many people don't want to get on airlines, and some don't want to associate with people who have been on them. And the President of the United States is... in this case, being dealt a bad hand, not of his doing, but there are those who take exception to the way he has handled this. We all know leaders have certain management styles, and We saw during Hurricane Katrina that the late great Kathleen Blanco, the governor of Louisiana, was criticized for showing emotion during a tragedy. And the president, as we know, is one who's full of bravado and bombast, and that's continued through this. Gail Collins in the New York Times says, you know, Trump has to be secretly going crazy over a problem that involves both declining stock prices and germs. This is the guy, writes Ms. Collins, after all, who thinks shaking hands is barbaric, who is followed around by aides bearing sanitizer. So there we go. The president of the United States is a man who does not like to shake hands at any time. And there have been those exposed to the virus, we know, who have been with the president. So I would imagine he's concerned, and for good reason, and at almost 74 years old and obviously not in great physical condition, he is particularly vulnerable. We'll talk more with Dr. Elders after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. Good morning and welcome back to Talk Louisiana. And we certainly wish to hear from you in various ways. You can call the show at 877-217-5757. We've got John Feinstein, the great sports writer, on later, but Dr. Joycelyn Elders is with us for a while longer, the celebrated health person from Arkansas. She was both the director of Arkansas Public Health under President Clinton and Governor Clinton, and then went to Washington with him, and as we know, had a turbulent time as the 15th United States Surgeon General, but she is an authority on health matters, and right now, coronavirus has enveloped the world as far as a conversation piece, and it is spreading in more than 80 countries now. The Dow yesterday had its worst point loss ever, with more than 2,000 points being shaved from the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It's now in the early trading, 24,668. That's up 817 points today in the early going, and we will see if that holds. In days past, it started well and then faded as the day went along. Again, 877-217-5757 for Dr. Joycelyn Elders. David in Atlanta. Good morning, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning to everyone. Dr. Elders, I understand as a consequence of climate change, there could be pathogens buried deep in ice cores on this planet. And as the ice melts and those pathogens are released into the atmosphere, it's my understanding that this coronavirus could be compared to a mild case of hay fever compared to the danger that we are facing because of climate change. And if those pathogens are released, it could be...
All right.
And we have...
Can we get Dr. Elders on? David, I'm sorry. But Dr. Elders, your response, please.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. We don't know about that. You know, we've known about coronaviruses, the whole big family. We've kind of known about them, and that's why we were able to be able to get them cloned and develop a vaccine as quickly as we have. But there may be others that we don't know about, but at least we've developed the technique of rapidly developing a vaccine. We've been trying all our lives to develop a real good medicine for the common cold, and we don't have one for that yet. So I'm just saying that we'll just have to be on alert, and there are scientists that are trying to look and find out what pathogens there are and trying to see what they are and hopefully be able to clone some of them so that if they are released, we will be able to very rapidly develop a vaccine or a medication or do something about it.
877-217-5757 is your number for Talk Louisiana. Mike in Glen Oaks. Mike, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Yeah, Jim. Good morning. I wanted to ask Dr. Elders about the Surgeon General, the current Surgeon General, seemed to be supporting the health of the president, then that the president, gets less sleep. And is that something that would be conducive for his credibility?
All right. Thank you, Mike. Dr. Elders?
We all know that we need to get 7 to 8 hours sleep. We need to get as much as sleep as we can. You know, there are several things we know that we need to do to preserve our own health, and whatever it is out there, if our health is failing, regardless of the cause, they talk about it's old folk, but that's because there are just more of us. But you know, if your immune system or something is altered, even if you're young, you're just as susceptible. So we are even much more susceptible. And I think the current Surgeon General is trying to tell us that we need to stay in the best health that we possibly can, and that it's important to get plenty of sleep.
The current Surgeon General is Vice
Dr.
Admiral
Adams.
Jerome Adams, yeah.
Jerome, yes.
The president has had many of his doctors say that the president is in good physical condition. He has not listed his weight in well over a year, and the last was at 243, which most people believe is
lowballing. We can look at him.
What is it now?
We can look at our president and realize that he may be. He's telling us he's in the best of health, but we know he knows, and he knows we know that he has a certain amount of certainly nasal allergies, and he's overweight.
He's what would be considered obese, and
well,
and he's not 6'3". Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback, was measured at the NFL scouting combine, and he is 6'3". And he towered over President Trump when LSU was celebrated as the national championship. So Trump, it's safe to say, is shorter than he says he is and fatter than he says he is, and he's 74 almost years old. So a man in that kind of condition is vulnerable. Yeah, he's at risk. And I would imagine he's concerned about having been exposed to people, and politicians by nature have this danger.
Right, are exposed all the time.
Joe Biden's even older, as is Bernie Sanders, older than Biden. Should we stop these rallies that these candidates have?
Well, you know, I'm really concerned about these rallies, and we need to start using more, other medium that we have. You know, we can use TV, newspaper, talk radio. You know, there are many ways, but you know, people like to have hands-on, shake hands, but you know, I think we're going to have to deal with some of that and talk about it. But, you know, the other thing I have said, and I think that we as a country need to start thinking about the age of our presidents and the age of people who, you know, at which they can run for president. You know, if they can, I feel that if they're over a certain age, like over 65 or certainly over 70, you know, you shouldn't be able to run for president for the first time.
Well, it is interesting that we have an age limit on the bottom end, 35.
That's right. Well, and I feel we need to have, it's probably more important to have an age limit on the top end.
It probably is, but as we know, people get experienced, and supposedly that helps, but in the current president's case, he was a newbie when he ran for president at almost 70 years old. He never run for anything else. And let's give him his due. He won the biggest office in the land.
But I really think that we as a country should have a top limit on when you can run for president for the first time. You know, you can serve for 8 years. If you're doing a good job, you can serve for 8 years. You certainly can serve for four. But if you do a horrible job, we can vote you out if we want to. But yeah, I just feel that we should have an upper limit at which you can run for president.
AJ writes, with Louisiana ranking among states with the highest rates of incarceration and a hub for immigrant detention, what is being done with respect to that population? He says, as I recall, doctors were protesting in December because of the U.S. policy of not vaccinating for the regular flu. So we've got people at risk and people who could be risking others that are not being taken care of properly, according to some. And the president incorrectly stated, Dr. Elders, that the regular vaccination for the flu could be a deterrent to the coronavirus, and that is not the case, according to health officials.
Well, you know, I feel that if we have people in our country, if one person here at risk can really cause risk to a large portion of the country, so we certainly should provide them flu vaccines, immunizations. You know, that's how we started our, this last measles epidemic. And, you know, of course, measles is a lot more easily spread. But I just think that, you know, we have to, if we have people here that we're incarcerated, that are on our soil and exposed to people who are guarding the prisons or coming back out into our communities, we should provide immunizations.
We're going to spend a bit more time with Dr. Elders, but we want to thank new sustaining members in Denham Springs and Lafayette who have contributed this hour. And we are heading down the stretch for the Spring Member Fest, so we want to hear from you. Again, the number 855-893-9753, and thanks to Richard and Risa in Livonia, who have become members of WRKF. I think they actually have renewed their membership. So thank you so much. Again, 855-893-9753. We're back with more Talk Louisiana after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. We're about to resume our conversation with Dr. Joycelyn Elders, and we're talking about coronavirus, and that has become the subject in the world as we know it. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And Dr. Joycelyn Elders is a person who has been around the block a few times. As we know, U.S. Surgeon General, but for those unfamiliar, 1952 B.S. in Biology from Philander Smith in Little Rock, M.S. in Biochemistry, 1967, University of Arkansas Medical Center, 3 years in the U.S. Army, and in 1960, she received or obtained her medical degree from the University of Arkansas. Before we go back to her, I do want to encourage our listeners to support public radio in this area by calling 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753. And I was at the station yesterday and picked up my beautiful orange mug. And you can show off your support with the 40th anniversary commemorative mug celebrating 40 years of both WRKF and Morning Edition, 16-ounce mug. Beautiful, and it is perfect for times like this. $150 is what it's being offered for, so that's $12.50 a month if you're a sustaining member, 42 cents a day. 855-893-9753. And we're joined again by Dr. Joycelyn Elders, and Dr. Elders, in her time, has dealt with epidemics, but this is a pandemic. I don't know that the World Health Organization has officially called it as such, but there's no doubt that coronavirus in more than 80 countries is going to get worse before it gets better. But the question is, how much worse? And many are pointing to a movie made by Baton Rouge's Steven Soderbergh a decade ago, Contagion. And in that one, about 30 million people got sick to the point they died. And 30 million is a possible number. It could even be worse. One Harvard scientist says 70% of the world will get coronavirus. Dr. Elders, is there any way, any real way of determining at this point how severe this could be, or maybe how not so severe it could be?
You know, I have to go with what you, the experts that we've heard. They've studied it, and they based it on what they know about viruses and what they know specifically about coronavirus. We know that this virus is going to spread. We know how it spreads. We know lots about this virus, which we didn't know sometimes about some of the other diseases that, you know, spread the world over and caused pandemics. This is why they haven't decided that it's going to be a pandemic yet. But it's capable, you know, because of the way it's spread and its ease of spread, that, you know, it's not quite like HIV. You know, it was really a little bit difficult to get HIV.
But, yeah, and it's funny how a listener this is Naoki, who writes that it's interesting how there's a rush for a surgical mask to protect us from this coronavirus, and yet people still don't use condoms.
That's right. That's readily available. And that's always been available. So I think that, and well, you know, not everybody's going to even use a mask, even if they're sick and going out. So we've not educated our people on good public health. And that's something that we've started. We have to start early. We've done too little, too late. And we wouldn't have to have these mass every day, every time we have a new virus or a new disease come along, we almost have to reinvent the wheel, starting over, talking about hand washing and covering our mouth when we cough or a nose, coughing into our into our elbow or sleeve, not handshake, not putting our hands over our face after we cough into them and putting the virus. And, we know all of these things, but we've not educated a whole population about this. And I think that this is something that with all of the new viruses and new diseases that's coming along, we're going to have to start really educating our people on the things that we need to be doing routinely.
Henry at the Country Club writes, some years ago, Dr. Elders, he writes, spoke to a group at the Reverend Jimmy Swaggart's Family Worship Center, and I asked if she had the opportunity to discuss safe sex with a good reverend. She said, not yet, but that she hoped to do so. Has she followed up with Reverend Swaggart?
No, not yet.
Well, we know why you got dismissed by President Clinton, who didn't have the gumption to actually do it himself. He sent Leon Panetta to do the dirty work. But if the president had followed your advice, he wouldn't have gotten as much trouble, would he have, if he had not consorted with an intern?
Well, I think that's true. But Jim, we have to know we're sexual beings from the time we're born until the time we die. And I think if we teach our young people from very early age that healthy sexuality and how to protect and take care of themselves and not be telling them that, if they, if they touch themselves or masturbate, that they're real crazy, they're going to die or they're going to, I think that what we have to start teaching our young people very early, such that they will be able to protect themselves, and that we've not done, and that we're going to find out that we're going to have to do. We're going to have to start teaching good public health, and we're going to need everybody involved. The teachers, the preachers, the parents, the radio announcers, the sports announcers, everybody. We've all got to be involved in teaching good public health, good prevention, and how to keep ourselves healthy. You can do more to protect your own health than all of the good doctors in the world. We've got the best doctors and hospitals in the world. But, if you get certain diseases, we're finding out that even the best, we can't save your life.
Well, what about listener-asked sporting events? Your husband, Oliver Elders,
yes,
is one of the most celebrated basketball coaches in the history,
yes,
of prep athletics and in Arkansas. Well,
yes.
They're talking about, it's not serious yet, but there is a discussion about doing games with an empty arena. Would that play?
I can't imagine doing games with an empty arena, but I guess if the virus is so bad that we have to do like what Italy or some of the other foreign countries have done, have to have games with the empty arena, to play the games and play them off, I think, and show them, put them on TV and on radio and such that we could hear. I hope that we don't come to that.
Well, Dr. Elders, it is always an honor to talk with you, and thanks for your service to your state and your country, our country.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure hearing from you again, and keep up the good work and keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
And you can tell your governor I'm proud that he's put more into early childhood education, because, as you know, children are half as tall as they'll ever be by the time they're three. They know half as much as they'll ever know by the time they're four. Hope, will, and drive has been determined by the time they're five. So I believe in starting early.
Well, you're a pediatrician, and I know this to be the case, that when you're 2 years old, whatever height you are, you double that, and almost certainly you're going to end up being that height. And it happened. My mother told me when I wasn't getting a growth spurt as fast as others that I was 3 feet and 1/2 inch when I was 2, and that I would be 6'1", and she was right.
That's right.
Well,
those are facts. You know, studied by scientists over the years. That's how they come up with those numbers.
Well, thank you, Dr. Elders.
Thank you very
much.
Pleasure.
God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye. And again, we want you to support public radio in this area. WRKF started January 18th, 1980, and it has been a beacon of light, an oasis of civility, and people from all sides of the political spectrum gather here for this hour of programming on a regular basis, and also you hear all sides of an issue on WRKF. There were surveys done back in the early part of the 21st century showing that many conservatives listen to public radio, despite the fact that it's often viewed as a liberal hangout. And I know people of all political stripes who listen to the station. I do think that liberals who like information programming are more inclined to move to WRKF and to other public radio stations than others because they have so few options. There are a lot of conservative programming options on the dial, but WRKF is one that is not a conservative or liberal program, but it is not wildly right like most talk radio stations, and it is not one where you're going to hear a lot of people screaming and yelling and carrying on and talking about how bad things are in an effort to generate people to pick up the phone and call and complain and turn it into a hate fest. That just doesn't happen here. So if you like this programming, it is your support that makes the trains roll, the programs go, and without you, we would not have had 4 decades of success with this entity that we know as WRKF. Again, your number is 855-893-9753, and for $150 a year, if you're a sustaining member, you'd pitch in $12.50 a month. You can show off your support for WRKF with the 40th anniversary commemorative mug celebrating 40 years of WRKF in Morning Edition. And until 10 o'clock, there's a $40 bump if you contribute and another $40, so $80 total if you are a sustaining member. So we want to hear from you, and the number is 855-893-9753. Thank you for your support, and we'll return with more of Talk Louisiana after this brief time out on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. And again, we'd like to hear from you to show your support for WRKF, 855-893-9753. And until 10 o'clock, a $40 bump if you contribute, and a $40 additional bump made possible by our board of directors if you are a sustaining member. So if you contribute $150 to get the beautiful orange 16-ounce mug, it'd be $12.50 per month that would be assessed to you, and you would not have to worry about it for a year. And we can guarantee you it won't exceed $150 for the year, and we can also assure you that you'll be in and out if you make your contribution in fewer than 89.3 seconds. 40 years of success, 855-893-9753. And we mentioned the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and yesterday being the worst day as far as total point drop in the history of the Dow. It's now at 24,318. It's coming back a bit. It was up over 800. Now it is at 467 ahead today. So it is coming back, and we'll see how the day goes. But there has been wild volatility. And the Dow just a few short weeks ago was hovering near 30,000. And at that point, there was about a 50% run-up during President Trump's presidency, and he was touting that as a reason for reelecting him. Now, the Dow in his 3 years and 2 months is up about 20%, a little over 20%. And that's not bad, but it in no way compares with what happened during the years of President Obama. 8 years, it went up 149%. Years of President Clinton, 8 years, it went up 229%. And interest rates were much higher then, by the way, than they are now. And President Clinton balanced the budget. We have a $1 trillion deficit that has grown exponentially under this president. And there is an election, and the president a few weeks ago had gotten above the 46.1% that he received in his victory in 2016 as far as the conflation of polls by Real Clear Politics. Right now, President Trump's numbers stand at 44.3% approval, 52.9% disapproval. So he's come back about 2 points. And in the head-to-head matchup with his likely Democratic opponent, the Real Clear Politics average has Joseph Biden at 50.6% and President Trump at 44.1%. So if that were to hold, then Biden is leading the president by 6.5%. The president does have a slight lead in Wisconsin, which is one of those key states, but Biden is leading polls in Pennsylvania and North Carolina. The president is leading in Florida by 0.5 percentage point. Florida, of course, is a state that often determines the winner, as it did in 2000, and it is one of the 11 SEC states comprising 150 electoral votes, and Trump got every one of those votes in 2016. If he does it again, then that means he will be within 120 votes of winning the election in the Electoral College, and he's going to win many of the western states, as we know. He's certainly not going to lose Alaska or Oklahoma or Idaho or Wyoming or Kansas or Nebraska. He's got those in the bag. So the president starts with over 200 electoral votes most likely in his camp, and that means it's a wild scramble in these so-called swing states. Now, Bernie Sanders is also ahead of the president in the conflation of polls by 4.9%. So Joe Biden has a slight edge over Sanders in a head-to-head matchup. And Sanders leads in Wisconsin against President Trump. So in one state, Sanders is doing better against the president than is Joe Biden. There are primaries today, Michigan in particular, and this is one that Bernie Sanders almost certainly has to win to stay viable. He defeated Hillary Clinton there in 2016. Of course, Michigan is one of those states that traditionally in Democratic presidential races, goes for Democrats. But last time, it was a narrow win for President Trump in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania that enabled him to become the 45th American president. So if Sanders doesn't win in Michigan, it's probably curtains for the senator from Vermont, who's been around a long, long time, ran for governor in his home state in 1986, 34 years ago, and only got 14% of the vote. So he has tasted defeat in a big way. And Joe Biden has run for president twice before and lost both times. So he has also known defeat, although Biden served in the Senate from age 30 until he became vice president. And he did not become the vice president of the United States until he was 67 years old. So 37 years in the United States Senate for Joe Biden. So almost 37 years. He was a guy who was a young and coming guy and has overcome a lot of tragedy in his life, had a brain aneurysm early in his life, lost his first wife and a daughter in a car accident, lost a son to brain cancer, and, of course, is engaged in the rough-and-tumble world of politics, has been embarrassed a few times. He did not do a good job, by his own admission, when he was chair of the Judiciary Committee during the Anita Hill hearings. But here he is at 77, almost 78 years old, and he is the overwhelming favorite to be the Democratic nominee for president. And if that happens, he will have a fighting shot against Donald John Trump, who, as we know, is quite vulnerable. And it appears we're not going to be able to make contact today with John Feinstein. Hopefully we can make that happen soon. He is a sports writer of note who has been with us before, and he's written a book about March Madness. And right now, as we know, because of the coronavirus, we could end up having arenas with players and no fans. That probably will not happen. But it is something that has been considered based on the world in which we are now inhabiting. And Louisiana yesterday, from the governor when he made his address to lawmakers, has reported its first case of coronavirus in Jefferson Parish, and hopefully this will not be a harbinger of things to come. As mentioned, the markets are reeling, as you can imagine, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which was over 800 points when we started this show, is now above 200 points. It's ahead 288. So it's coming back to the pack, and we may end up, if things go according to form, ending up having another down day on Wall Street. But through the years, the markets have gone down, and then they've gone up. And a perfect example is that yesterday was the 11th anniversary of the lowest the Dow was in modern time. It dropped to 6,500. It ran up above 10,000 for the first time when Clinton was president, then got up to about 13,000, and then dropped to 6,500 in the early days of the Obama administration. But by the time President Obama left office, the Dow was almost at 20,000. It had gained 149% in 8 years. And it continued to grow almost to 30,000 under President Trump. And he was touting that as a reason to reelect him. And now at just over 24,000, this president has not performed as well with the market as many others, notably Obama and Clinton. And in Clinton's case, as noted, higher interest rates, and yet the Dow Jones Industrial Average went through the roof. The budget was balanced. He left with a surplus. And for those who say it was the tech boom, well, those stocks that are now part of the Dow components, like Microsoft and Apple, they were not part of the Dow Industrial Jones Industrial Average when President Clinton was president until the very end, and most of them were not then, but Microsoft did become part in 2000. So he certainly benefited from the tech boom, but the market growth was largely unrelated to that when we measure the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is the bellwether for how we perform. And as noted, the market will go up at some point, but right now it's a rocky road and it's uncertain as to how low it will go before it starts going back up. And we want you to contribute as much as you can. Maybe you've had to rethink how much you will contribute, but we know that you value this program and this station, or you would not be listening right now. And it is your support that makes things happen right here on WRKF. And again, the number to call and be a member, become a tangible part of our family, is 855-893-9753. That's 855-893-9753. And we're asking for you to contribute $150 a year, just 42 cents a day. And you can get your orange 16-ounce WRKF mug. Before we go, I know Phil in Jefferson Terrace has been on the line. We were hoping to get John Feinstein in, but Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. You know something, as this virus thing, the disaster is going on, you have to wonder where the people who are dying, are they dying in hospitals? What is that death like? I mean, how if that virus gets you, how painful or how fast does it take someone down? And also, do you guys have a plan in case the state has to shift into another gear to deal with this? Thanks.
All right. Well, I think right now everything is on the table, and hopefully we won't get to quarantines. But any time a respiratory issue is involved, I would imagine death is not pleasant. It usually isn't. And in this case, it's a difficult departure. Mary Patricia Ray was on this program yesterday, and she had SARS, was on a ventilator for 2 weeks at 17, and she recovered. Fortunately, coronavirus is not attacking the young people as much as it is older people. So be careful, especially if you are a seasoned citizen. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Again, your number for WRKF is 855-893-9753. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned. Thank you.